This is a new regime, baby.
Why has Bill Curry been your hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years? It starts with one of the industry's best lifetime warranties for new and pre-owned vehicles, enhanced by 10-year roadside assistance and free maintenance for a year. Also included are nitrogen tire fills, F-150 and Super Duty bedliners, paint and fabric protection, and more. Add an extensive inventory and concierge customer service, and it's easy to see why Bill Curry is still Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. I'm Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, the presenting sponsor of the Ira Kaufman podcast. You can find them at BillCurryFord.com to start your shopping. And today also is presented by Buffalo Wild Wings, home to Ira's Road Tour, where he'll be watching with you, the fans, every Buccaneers road game and the England game at a Buffalo Wild Wings. The schedule is at JoeBucksFan.com. And Pin Chasers. Now, all the stress for opening day is coming up. And maybe you're not stressed, you're just excited, but I know I get stressed on game day. And what better way to relieve that stress than by going bowling at one of the three Bay Area Pin Chasers locations? Sunday Breakfast Bowl includes breakfast and unlimited bowling for just $8. Sundays are for families. Pin Chasers knows that, and they have this incredible deal per person. Breakfast and bowling, $8. Join them from 9 to 11 for the Breakfast Bowl. Two eggs, bacon, toast, all the details at pinchasers.net. Pinchasers.net. Congratulations to them on their 60-year anniversary this year. And all right, we are coming up on the famous prediction show where Ira, myself, Lee DeCamper serve up four calls for this year. The fellas recorded this without me, but my predictions are in there. I'm Steve Isbitz. And just for the record, Ira was 0-for-4 last year. Lee and I were both 2-2. We're very competitive cats. So I just had to mention that because it was forgotten. All right, here's the sage.
Rock, you ever heard my diatribe about bowling alleys? There's always some guy that's a little 5'6" guy. He's overweight by about 30 pounds.
Left-hander.
And left-hander.
Probably smoking and drinking
and
as well.
And he starts the ball out, you know, on the freaking gutter. And the next thing you know, it curves right
he's
in.
He's got a hook.
And he misses the pocket, and the pins go flying, and he gets a strike. And I'm over there with my straight ball.
Straight.
And I'm not kidding. When my ball hits the pocket, all it's right. A dull thud.
All right, enough with your ball.
But his ball moves like a Steve Carlton slider, huh?
And welcome to another edition of the Sages Podcast. The Sage being Ira Kaufman, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Hall of Famer in your hearts, on and off the field. I'm Rock Riley in for the great Steve Isbitz, and Lee DeCamper always can make us laugh. He comes up with these one-liners, is sitting here with the Sage. Gentlemen, let's play football. Let's play real football. The San Francisco 49ers with John Lynch are here at Raymond James Stadium. Are you pumped up, my man Sage?
I absolutely am. It's a good test for the Bucs in a certain respect. It's going to test what could end up being the weak link of this franchise, which is the offensive line. Because to me, the strength of the 49ers is their pass rush. DeForest Buckner is very, very good. We all know that. They drafted Nick Bosa. What's the issue with Nick Bosa? His health. He always seems to be hurt. Well, looks like he's playing. They added Lee DeCamper's favorite player.
Who be that?
Dee Ford from my Kansas City Chiefs, the man who went offside on the play that should have secured the Chiefs a spot in the freaking Super Bowl. But Dee Ford is a good pass rusher off the edge. Look out. And we don't know about the Buck offensive line. I don't think the 49er offense scares anybody. They've got George Kittle. He's a very good tight end.
He's their number one receiver.
He's their number one guy.
They don't have any depth. They don't have any stars. They got decent wide receivers.
Back. They don't have a marquee wide receiver. And we don't know about Jimmy G.
Q.
Whatever. So it's a good opportunity for this Buck defense, which has a lot to prove, but which has shown a lot of promise. Albeit it's only in August, I think the Bucs can win this game with some turnovers, and I think Jameis will do just enough. I like this matchup for the Bucs.
That was a great Archie Bunker line. Whatever.
Whatever.
You say your thing. I added something to it. Whatever.
This is a good matchup for the Bucs.
Do you think it's a good matchup for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to open up at home against the San Francisco 49ers?
At home, no, because they have
in a previous podcast, Lee, pass. This is new, Lee. This is a new regime, baby.
Until proven otherwise, no.
What do you want to do? Open up in Foxborough? Get your ass kicked?
Open up in San Francisco would be better. They're horrible at home.
This is a new day in Tampa Bay, right?
Horrible.
You got Tim McGraw belting the blues out there. Come on, now.
If you want to go past, the 49ers only won four games, so this should be a pushover last year.
The thing that scares me about this game, I know preseason. Without preseason, what are we going to go on right now? We're going to go back the next year? Then same people, oh, well, it's last year. Well, you know, what am I going to pull out of something in thin air? And you know, anyway. Against a good pass rush, this offensive line was a train wreck against Cleveland. A train wreck. You could argue the second best defensive line in the NFL is the Niners. You know, this team doesn't believe in a strong defensive line. Actions speak louder than words. They don't believe in it. They just don't believe in it. They think a safety is more important than a pass rush. Okay, fine. Well, they're going to get a hard lesson this week. If a defensive line is that important, I value defensive line. I've been beating this drum for years, and oh well, it scares me because I saw with my own eyes that nightmare against Cleveland. The second best defensive line, arguably, San Francisco's. Here we come. Ouch.
The 49ers do have a lot of number ones on that D-line.
Arians might have to go against his instincts. If he's as good a coach as we think he is, mm-hmm. He's got a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. His instincts say, I want five men out on a pattern. Confused, you know, they got to defend every blade of grass. That's Bruce Arians in a normal way with a veteran quarterback like a Carson Palmer in Arizona. Well, now you got Jameis Winston, who's been beaten up for 4 years. You get an extra protector in there. You get an extra tight end. You get your best running back that can pass block. And they got enough weapons. You don't need Bobo Wilson out there flying, you know, trying to occupy a cornerback. You know, the Niners are going to have enough trouble staying with Mike Evans and Godwin and O.J. Howard. That's enough. Protect Jameis Winston. Give him some time. He's going to do some damage, Rock. Give him time.
Bill Curry Ford, now on with the Sages Podcast. You're a perfect example. You actually bought a new truck from Bill Curry Ford?
Yes. Before they were even dreaming of sponsoring this podcast, I bought a truck from them. And I'm telling you, I'm a satisfied customer. And I'm telling people, if you're interested in buying a truck or a Mustang or whatever the heck Ford makes, please pay Bill Curry Ford.
Where are they?
They are on Dale Mabry. It's a Ray Guy punt from the stadium, literally just north of Hillsboro on Dale Mabry. I mean, you'd be going to the ball game on Friday. Leave a couple hours earlier before your tailgate. Drop in at Bill Curry. They're right there, right close. You can almost walk there. New car, used car. Or I should say pre-owned. Stop in before you're going to the ball game Sunday. Stop in. Sean Sullivan might even still be there. I know he goes to all the games. He's got season tickets. But stop in, talk Bucks, check out a truck, then go to the game. Why not?
Bill Curry Ford.
Got a satisfied customer there.
Now, you're going to be at Ray J, obviously, doing your thing. And then, week number two.
Short turnaround, baby. Thursday night,
you're going to be out at the Buffalo Wild Wings, are you not, Sage?
Riverview, baby.
Riverview. Buffalo Wild Wings on Thursday night.
I believe that's
night.
Right off 75, Rock.
Nice,
am I correct?
Nice. And any various locations, Buffalo Wild Wings around the Tampa Bay area, go to joebucksfan.com and the schedule.
Every road game, including that morning game, which will be in Tottenham
Hotspurs.
Against the Panthers? Rock, are they playing?
Yes, it is. That's why you won't see
fans,
Joe.
That's
McCoy.
Where?
Just outside of London,
okay.
I believe.
There you go.
I believe the game starts at 9:30 local time.
Beautiful,
Tampa
beautiful. Why, what better way to spend
breakfast,
it with
baby.
The Sage? Breakfast with the Sage. All right,
Bloody
Sage.
Marys.
All right, we know that Lee has stood behind Jameis Winston for years. Sage, fifth year, 1 year deal, $21 million. Okay. To me, this is it. I know there are some people saying, well, oh, the Glaciers, you know, they have been behind Jameis. Yeah, they have. But I also don't think that they're going to go past this year. This is it. And he doesn't have any excuses this year. He's been with the team the entire time. He's healthy. Oh, he's got the sun. Everything.
Rock,
everything is
say,
here
Rock,
for him.
When
no
you say
excuses.
This is it. he got to throw for 4,500 yards, or is this is it? The Bucs got to win 9 freaking
W's.
Games. You know what? I'm with you, and this is a debate I've had with the Kemper.
Oh, I'm ready.
Because he says he hasn't had a defense, he hasn't had a running game. But, Lee, you're looking at two men right here who say one thing. You've got to win.
Archie Manning, was he a good quarterback?
Yes.
He was a horrible quarterback at losing, but he was a good quarterback. We're looking at the modern-day version of Archie Manning here. Good quarterback, not great. Pathetic team around him, with the exception of receivers.
And when people talk about the better quarterbacks that have been through the NFL in their history, does anybody ever mention Archie Manning? Nobody.
Football people do. Wait, you going to base this on what people will be talking about 20 years from now? You're going to build your team around that?
He's the number one overall pick, Rock. That's supposed to be a stud player.
Well, you want to go there, I'll start talking about that linebacker they drafted, and we haven't seen anything yet.
Win games. Win games.
Okay. Are we going to start blaming O.J. Howard? Are we going to start blaming Mike Evans? Are we going to start blaming Devin White
if
they're losing?
Comes with the position, Lee. Comes with the position.
Lee, now we are seeing, I'm talking about now, we are seeing these young quarterbacks, year one, year two, they're coming in, they're getting the job done. This is year number five with a quarterback whisperer and some weapons around him.
Rock, they weren't playing with the most heinous defense God's ever seen.
Yes, you are right. And I think this year the defense is going to be way better.
They stunk, but they rushed the freaking passer.
They stunk.
They rushed the passer. That's the difference. This team can't rush the passer.
The pass rush was adequate last year. Adequate.
It's just this year, the overall defense, they fly to the ball, even if it's the twos and the threes. It's just, I think with Todd Bowles, who is a really good defensive mind, it's going to be different. But again, we're all looking. We're going off a preseason. It's hard to judge.
Rock, do you think Bowles' ascension to head coach for 4 years took his focus a little bit away from just being on the defensive side of the ball? I think it did, and that's why people who say, the Jets didn't play such great defense, and Bowles was there in the building. It's not the same, Rock. When you're the coordinator, you got a narrow focus. When you're the head coach, just ask Cutter. Just ask Cutter. He lost his balance on his offense when he became head coach.
Sage, you're proving my point. Don't you think that Todd Bowles is in a perfect situation where he doesn't like talking to the media? He really doesn't want to be in charge of everything. He just wants defense. He's got his head coach that he's a friend with. I think he's in a perfect situation right here. Perfect.
He's away from that New York media.
Yeah.
Your boy Manish Mehta. He's away from him.
You're going to love my segue here.
I'm ready. I'm ready, Lee DeCempa.
Bill Curry Ford.
To this. Let me hit a rest.
When people go to shop for cars and trucks, you go to Bill Curry Ford, you want to talk to Sean Sullivan. Why? If you're listening to this podcast, I dare say you're a Bucs fan. And there's no bigger Bucs fan I've ever met in my life than Sean Sullivan, the general manager at Bill Curry Ford. Like I say, if you have to buy a truck the day you walk into that place and you can't go to bed at night until you have a new truck, you're going to be waiting an hour or so because you're going to be talking Bucks with Sean Sullivan. You'll be breaking down plays. You'll be talking about defensive coverage. But I was talking to him one time, Sean Sullivan, after I bought my truck with Bill Curry Ford. And this very subject, what I was talking about, I said, I'm not really sold on Bowles yet because, you know, his defense wasn't that good in New York. He goes, whoa, hold up. He goes, a guy who went 0-16 with the Lions, the Bucs would crawl on their hands and knees to have him back as defensive coordinator. That's Rod Marinelli.
Mm-hmm.
And Wade Phillips, very average, mediocre head coach, brilliant defensive coordinator.
Now, didn't you like that segue?
What else we got, Rock? What else?
All right, let's talk about San Francisco 49er quarterback who's going to be having the ball in his hands.
Jimmy GQ.
Jimmy Garoppolo started off great, was out all last year. We got the story that he threw five, six picks in one practice.
That was a bigger story, but yeah.
He did not look good in his first preseason game, and then he came on. I heard John Lynch on a broadcast saying they really believe in him. Can this Buccaneer defense stop him, at least contain him in this game here Sunday at Raymond James Stadium?
This aura around Jimmy G is based on about 10 games of NFL experience. They closed with a rush in 2017. I believe they won their last five or six games. He played well.
Yes, five-game winning streak. You are right. Season. Yep, three games season. In, torn ACL.
Torn ACL. We don't have a big sample size on this guy. Now look, he was in New England, and people get enamored of Brady's backup. They tend to do that. And the history is these guys fizzle out, Rock, just like people get enamored with Belichick's staff. And they try to pluck them, And when they become that head coach, they fizzle out.
Because
you know what that
Belichick.
Tells me? You better get Belichick. You want something out of New England? Get freaking Belichick. So, Rock, Jimmy G's got a lot to prove. I'm not sure he's 100% healthy. And I think it's the Bucs' job to get him on the move, put him down, rough him up, Rock. And the fans would love it.
Has he been the same since he dated that porn star?
See, now there's another segue from the Kemper.
Do you remember that? Do you remember what she looked like? Do you remember the...
I think you do better.
Here's what Martin Gramatica, who I do a radio show, calls. I were talking about Verlander one day, and I say, you know who he's married to. And he goes, oh, you mean the one with the flotation devices?
Tate Upton.
There you go. No, Jimmy Garoppolo with the porn star, Bud Lee. Do you agree with Sage or disagree? Garoppolo still is not proven, and this is a really decent quarterback for the Bucs to go up against in game number one with this defense.
He's proven, but he's not. And what I mean by that is he's proven he can play in this league. He's not proven he could do it over a duration. 10 games is really nothing. I mean, we've seen all kinds of football players look really good for a season, and then, you know, they're an afterthought later. Brian Hoyer. Wouldn't Brian Hoyer... He went somewhere. No. Brady got hurt against the Chiefs, right? Didn't the Chiefs knock him out? Like the second game of the season?
Yes.
Hoyer damn near took him to the playoffs.
Matt Castle.
Matt Castle is the guy. Okay, yes. Excuse me.
Rock, would you rather face Jimmy G at home or go, all like last year, you go to New Orleans, you got to play Drew Brees. You got to score over 40 points just to win that game.
No, I think this is a good spot.
Depression.
Yeah. No, oh, there's Lee. I know he's going on history. I understand that. You must have liked history, Lee. Were you in history?
I have a degree in history.
I figured that you were. All right, now you know John Lynch. So I was reading, and I did a lot of homework with the San Francisco media, and that their head coach, Shanahan, and John Lynch, they keep saying the same thing. Yeah, that there's more talent on this team than when they started. Yeah, they stripped it down. But now it's time to win. The pressure is on. There's no more rebuilding in San Francisco. I think they both got 5-year deals. You're in year number 3. You know John Lynch. But do they have enough? Do they have enough?
Rocky,
what about this 49ers team, Sage?
Going into last year, the hype around the 49ers reminds me a little bit about what's going on in Cleveland right now. They closed fast. Young quarterback. Not a rookie quarterback, but a young quarterback. A lot of hype. The difference is the guy got hurt. So then you get a pass. The coach gets a pass, and Lynch gets a pass. But, Rock, if Jimmy G plays 14, 15, 16 games this year, and they go 6-10, that Bay Area media, they can be rough, Rock. They can rough you up. Just ask Chucky. And he was winning out in Oakland, and they were picking on him. Ask Jack Del Rio. You know, guys that have been with the Raiders. They can be rough. And I think the wrath is going to come down. If Jimmy G stays healthy and they don't win this year, people are going to look at John Lynch and this coach in a whole different way.
You know Lynch better than any of us and any of our listeners. And, of course,
You mean my 6 Hall of Fame speeches?
No, I know. And John Lynch even said, no, you're still my guy. We believe in it. Martin was telling me that John Lynch, like before a game or during the week or outside the building, was one of the nicest guys he'd ever met. And then you would see him on game day on the field, and he was just so more of a competitor than anybody he's ever seen. Well, can you tell us anything about John Lynch? Maybe give our Joe Bucks fan listeners maybe anything. Is there any one particular story John Lynch, Sage? Could you do it for us, Sage?
I can share Gramatica's points on Lynch in this regard. When he played for the Bucks, which is before Joe Bucks fan was created.
Correct.
Because he left in 04.
Gotcha.
To go to Denver.
Gotcha.
But I remember when the Bucks would lose a game, and they had successful teams, you know, under John Lynch, obviously, and it's one of the reasons why he's a strong Hall of Fame candidate. When they would lose games, and you'd go up to Lynch's locker, he was cooperative up to a point. You ask one question that's a little askew, where you're actually questioning scheme, what happened on that play, who's responsible, he'd tear your head off, Rock. He was as competitive a player, and not that Rondé and Sapp and Brooks weren't, but John Lynch was a mean, ornery guy when the Bucks didn't win that football game, Lee. And I respect that. I never argued that point. ask your normal questions, you'll get your answers. You go beyond and above, he's gonna take your head off.
Wow.
Sage, were you...
First I've ever heard of that.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Were you there the day it was at...
Was it Tom Baylor? Tell that story, Rock. Tell that story quick.
There was a reporter out of Manatee County named Tom. He was a beat reporter. And he had somewhat of a kind of, I don't know, like a surly...
And very
personality,
blunt.
Personality, very blunt. And it was after a game, and I heard a commotion, and I looked down by John Lynch's locker, and John Lynch just actually... lost it and said, "No one likes you, and it's the way you ask questions." And one of the PR guys got in front of Lynch. He's just a competitor, man. Right? It might have been after a loss. Were you there, Sage? You remember that?
It had to be after a loss.
It was Tom Baylock.
Oh,
yeah.
Baylock.
Yeah. But it just shows you his competitiveness. And even though he's a nice guy and he left Fox in a cushy job, he and Shanahan have to win.
Of course, what Rock leaves out of the story is that, while Lynch is doing this diatribe against Baylog, Rock saying, get him, John, get him.
My camera guy, are you rolling on this? Are you rolling on this? Are you rolling on this?
You need the video, baby.
I mean, we do.
I didn't know Baylog like you guys, but the little bit I knew of him, he was very nice to me.
Oh, yeah.
Very supportive of Joe Bucks fan. He loved Joe Bucks fan. At the time, this room was very unkind to Joe Bucks.
He's the guy that got into it with Michael Strahan over the speakerphone.
Oh, was
you,
he?
You heard about that,
no,
right?
No, I didn't hear this story,
yeah,
Sage.
Yeah, because, you know, the Bucks were going to play the Giants, and it was Wednesday, and so we got the key player, which was Strahan.
Yeah.
And everything's on the nice and nice. You know, hey, congratulations for setting the record last year. And now Baylog takes the microphone and says, "Didn't you feel guilty that you know the record breaking sack was Favre basically on his hands and knees giving it to you?"
See what I'm saying?
And Strahan goes, "Who is this?" He goes, "Tom Baylock, Sarasota." He goes, "You say that to my face." Baylock says, "I'll see you Sunday after the game." Unbelievable.
Well, I remember one time I asked Baylock about that because decorum really wasn't his forte. He didn't give a damn.
Right.
And I asked him about that one time. He was like, "Hey, they're not giving me a list of questions I ask. It's open forum. So I'm going to ask them, what they're going to do, punch me?" And I sort of have a little bit of that attitude. Like, okay, go ahead and punch me. I'll collect a couple hundred grand.
My wife would always say, "Stay away from Warren Sapp. Stay away." I said, "Why? If he takes a poke at me, he might knock me unconscious, but I can get a half a mil out of him."
Rock will love this. I can only remember two guys unloading on me. I mean, absolutely unloading in my career. Well, three. One was a dipshit high school coach.
Well, one's got to be Isbitz.
No.
This is so funny.
They're both baseball guys.
Albert Pujols.
Whitey Herzog?
No, Herzog, I'd get drunk with him. No, and both these guys are in the Hall of Fame. And yeah, I know Herzog's in the Hall of Fame.
Mark McGwire.
No.
Oh.
The first one you'll laugh your rear end off. Bob Gibson.
Oh,
well,
really?
Bob Gibson.
He was known as a damn bulldog.
Yeah.
On and off the field. Really? What'd you do, Lee?
Well, I'll tell you in a second. And the other one was Nolan Ryan.
Another one. That
Two Hall of Fame pitchers.
They don't
surprise. Fireballers.
They don't surprise. This doesn't surprise
and
me.
Both of them apologized to me.
Really?
Even Gibson.
Really?
Yeah, what it was, Gibson was in St. Petersburg when the Cardinals had spring training.
Yes, I remember that.
And Gibson was pitching. He was throwing batting practice. And Gibson was coming off the field, and I was doing a story about how allegedly the Cardinals were the reason why spring training was desegregated. That time it was segregated.
Right.
And the Cardinals threatened to pull out of St. Petersburg unless they desegregated the hotels.
And Bill White was a big part of that.
Yeah, Bill White. Was.
I remember
him. Now there's number three. There's number four. That guy cussed. I thought he was going to punch me one time. About the same story.
I think he's got more. Do you notice? He's got more.
I forgot about that. Bill White. I thought he was going to punch me. Freaked out.
Save those stories because we got buck predictions.
Got over real quick. Gibson, when he apologized?
Yes, Gibson.
He comes off the field and I asked him a question and he's just I can't say what he said.
Yeah.
And he went in the clubhouse and I'll let him cool down a while. After a few minutes, he poked his head out of the clubhouse. He waved me. He goes, "Come on." And a casual conversation. No. You know, he wasn't irritated or anything. And he said, "I got to apologize to you. I was having an asthma attack coming out the field." See, and I forgot he had asthma.
Look at the respect to Kemper.
There you go. All right. Let me get it back to this. Thank you, Lito. That was a good story. I saw a stat the other day. Out of the last 16 years, I think it's 15 years, there have been a team that has gone from worst to first.
You are not wrong, Rob.
And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in that with about seven other teams, including your Raiders and the Bengals and the Giants. And well, with Chucky, and I'm going down the list, even the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not going to put you on the spot because here we are. We don't know what we have. It's a first-year coach with this team. Is there any chance that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could actually win the NFC South this season?
What a stunner that would be. And Lee, you were there when Peter King said to Lee and I during this training camp.
Oh, you had him on the podcast. That was good. That was good.
Peter King said the Bucs could be markedly better and still finish fourth because the NFC South is that good. Lee, if this was a different division, I wouldn't be so hesitant to say the Bucs can springboard to number one. That would be a stunner.
Falcons, Saints, Panthers.
I'm not about to say that's going to happen, but you know what?
But it happens every year, Rob.
Last year, and this is one of the reasons why Dirk Cutter is no longer sitting here. Last year, did we expect the Falcons to take a dive like they did?
No.
Did we expect the Panthers to be... They weren't good.
They lost seven straight games after a 6-2 start.
Yeah, no one saw that coming.
Right.
And like I said just a few moments ago, that's one reason why Dirk Cutter's not here. He couldn't take advantage of that. And so could it happen? Well, Drew Brees could break a leg.
Yeah, no.
Sooner or later,
that, yeah.
Father Time's going to catch up with the guy. It might be 3 years. It might be tomorrow. I don't know.
I think it would take 10 wins, Rock, and I'm not sure this team's capable of 10 wins.
Yeah, it would take double-digit wins, I'm pretty sure. I was correct.
All right, what about this game, Sage? Here we are now. It's going to be 4:25. Bucks should take advantage of the heat, all that jazz. How do you see this game playing out? Do you think they've done enough OTAs, mini camp, for them to use the full playbook with Leftwich, with the defense? You got a rookie on defense that's going to be calling the plays. What do you think? How do you see this game Sunday?
I think the philosophy of this team going into this game, Lee, is fairly simple and elemental, and I'll say it this way. Let's protect Jameis and give him some time, and if we do, the 49ers are going to be in trouble. I don't think they can cover well enough. They still have Richard Sherman. Sherman ain't 27 anymore.
Right, right.
He's lost a few steps.
But that's a big if. That's the big key.
The Bucs have the targets to exploit this team.
Yes, they do.
But he's got to have time.
That's the key.
That's the key.
You brought up Richard Sherman?
Yeah.
How did he do against Mike Evans last time he came here? Mike Evans burned him.
Yeah.
So I'm not.
I'm not afraid of Richard Sherman.
No. I mean, at one point, he was excellent cornerback, and yes, I respect him. And he's a really intelligent dude. A lot to like about him. But, you know, sooner or later, Father Time knocks on your door. When that happens with Brady, when it happens with Drew Brees,
I know.
You're guessing
it happened
money.
To Brent Grimes.
Yes,
we
it,
saw it.
Boy, it happened fast. It happened quick.
Yeah. Did it?
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Yes,
well, the reason why I asked that seems to imply that he was lousy. I don't think he was motivated. His last game here, I think he was motivated because he probably knew that was the last game and he didn't want to go out as a bum. He had a good game.
Yep.
I just don't think he was motivated. Remember that famous story? They wanted to cover Antonio Brown.
God,
he was don't pay
I'm
me
not
enough.
Paid
so
to
I don't
cover
think he was motivated.
Ones.
Rock,
I really
we
don't.
Got we got some predictions. Rock, we got
yeah, all right, let's do this, Sage. Now so I'm in for Steve Isbitz and he gave you guys an assignment. Is it four? Is it,
it is
three
four.
Each? It's
it
four predictions each. Since this is your podcast, Sage, we will start with
I'm
the Hall of Famer. Let's do it, Sage.
All right, here we go. Mr. Riley.
He's even got this down. He's
number
even got
one.
It down. What number one prediction from the Sage? Bum 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 bum.
Barrett will lead the Bucs with 7.5 sacks.
I like that. And I think that's
like
a possibility.
That?
I like that.
Number two.
What do you mean? There should be more than that?
Oh, my God. If seven
no,
sacks
no, I was thinking
leader,
more on Shaq.
You got problems.
Well, I mean.
I was thinking more on Shaq.
What are you looking for? William Golston to do double digits
oh,
over here?
That guy. Is he going to be here? All right. Shaq Barrett, 7.5, you said, right?
7.5.
All right. That's number one. Number two from the Sage.
Bucs finish with positive turnover differential. Why? Because I think this new coaching staff, Christensen will help, Leftwich will help, and Arians, of course, will be the voices in Winston's ear. Don't try to make every play when they break down, take the check down. So I think there will be fewer giveaways. And with this defense, which we've seen all in August, there's going to be more takeaways. Bucks finish on the positive side. That will go a long way to having a successful season.
That's good.
Number three, Matt Gay hits three field goals of 55 yards or more, but misses four inside the 40.
I agree with
like that. And number four, Rock, to wrap it up, put a little pretty bow on it.
I'm ready.
Jameis Winston throws for 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. But, Rock, the reason I say that is I don't think they'll be able to run the ball. He'll be throwing 40 times a game. They'll get big numbers, but I'm not sure that'll translate to wins. I'm going to toss this over to
Sage.
Mr. What do you mean,
left
but
out
Sage?
The interceptions. You gave me stat. You gave me TDs, and you gave me yards. The biggest knock on Jameis is the turnovers.
15.
All right.
That's a 2-to-1 ratio, which isn't bad.
That's not bad. He has solved that. All right, Sage, that is beautiful. Now, let's go to Lee DeCempa. Four big predictions.
Well, I'm going to give Steve Isbett's predictions first. He was unable to join us, but he emailed me his predictions.
Oh, let's get Steve.
One is embarrassingly vague. We'll get to that in a second. the first prediction Steve has, Peyton Barber rushes for seven or more touchdowns, the most, he adds, the most by a Bucs running back since Doug Martin's rookie season of 2012.
Okay, great.
His second one, this is embarrassingly vague. Alex Kappa has what is widely considered an okay season starting at right guard. No, what the hell is that?
We don't even know what that means, Rock. That's unacceptable.
Widely considered by who?
All right.
What is okay?
All right. He's not here to defend himself. Yeah, I know. That's
by Caleb Benenock standards, that's not a high bar, Rock. Go ahead.
All right, number three.
This is the good
from
one,
Steve
and I lean toward this, but not necessarily for the reasons Isbitz does, but I don't disagree with this one. Vernon Hargraves does not play well enough to make the 2020 roster and earn his nearly $10 million fifth-year option.
Whoa.
I agree with that only because of the cost. The Bucks are strangled by the salary cap, and the 50-50 chance they got to pay for Jameis or pay for a new quarterback, where if possible.
And that's a big number for Hargraves next
year,
right?
Yeah, so yes. I think just dollars and cents. He's not going to be here, and they'll put one of those current rookies will get a starting job next year.
He talks too much for me, for somebody that doesn't have a lot of success. Anyway, go.
Hargraves?
Oh, my God. Because
he's eloquent.
Eloquent. Okay, that's a nice way to put it.
Talk to us or just talk?
No, just talk. Everything. He makes one play.
Oh, yeah.
He
does the same sign.
Nuts.
This is the final Isbitz prediction.
Yes. And this is a good one. He's a big gambler, and this is a wagering kind of one. Because there's no specifics, but it's a good one. O.J. Howard will have more receptions than Chris Godwin. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
I don't know if I agree with that, Rock. I don't know.
Yeah, let's hear your...
To me, O.J. Howard's never going to be a volume tight end, but he's going to be a guy that's going to be a big play tight end. Might score 8-10 touchdowns. Wouldn't shock me. But I don't see him catching 75 balls. I don't see it, Rock. But I do think they need to target him more. I don't think they target him enough.
All right.
Now,
all right,
are we going to get to Lee DeCempa? Lee DeCempa.
Once again, in God knows how many years, there will not be a 1,000-yard rusher for the Bucs. That's number one. Number two.
All right, it's a downer.
Number two. O.J. Howard plays the full season.
That's big.
Yeah, that is big.
That is big.
That's the only reason why Brait's here, I think.
See, that's
it's
a
because
great,
they don't know he's there.
Because the amount of money that Brait is.
Well, O.J. Howard plays the full season.
He looks. What did Sapp say? Look like Tarzan, play like Jane? I'm just joking here. He is built, man. Oh,
Jimmy
my
Giles
God.
Says every time he looks at him, he thinks to himself.
I remember you saying that in the last podcast. Two podcasts ago.
He doesn't block
ago.
Like Jimmy Giles.
No.
Then again, three tight ends, good.
Number three for Lee DeCempa.
Bernard Perriman puts up more yards than DeSean Jackson ever did with the Bucs in his two seasons here.
I would love to see that. I would love to see Breshad Perriman, but I don't know. I mean, they talked him up, especially early on. I know he still got some speed. I got to see it to believe it.
And while I mention DeSean Jackson 2 years here, we got to give it up for Ira. The day DeSean Jackson was signed, Ira came out and said he will not see his third season here.
You should have put money down on that, Sage. You should have been to the Meadowlands with Steve Isbitz and go up there.
All right.
Number four.
Batting cleanup over there, my friend.
If the Bucs win six or more games, Jameis will be franchised next year.
I could see that.
This is B.
Into year number six, not knowing what we have yet. Is he a franchise?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
This may be, but 4B,
that's okay, Lee. That's
number
good.
B.
That's good.
Five wins are under for Jameis. All bets are off.
Five wins are under. Now all of a sudden you got a high draft pick.
Yes.
And a quarterback rich draft. Rock.
True.
And by the way,
of the top five teams, probably all will be looking at for quarterbacks.
I always listen. I don't know. I doubt these guys listen, but I get to see Bruce Feldman once a year. And you know who Bruce Feldman
great is. College football maybe reporter, the best. One maybe of the best. Best with
Hammond
Fox.
Murphy, maybe the best.
You got
and Feldman and his cohort, Stuart Mandel, I listen to their podcast. They got a fan. Anybody that's a college football fan, if you don't listen to their podcast, you're missing out.
Okay.
And their podcast this week, they posted Monday on Labor Day. So they're going over the weekend's games.
Uh-huh.
And Herbert, the Oregon quarterback?
Yes.
I hope people are sitting down for this. They're not enamored with him. They don't think he's yet proven he can put a team on his shoulders. And I think it was Stuart Mandel had the gall to compare him to, hold on now, Blaine Gabbert.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Said he's got the tools, but he doesn't have the results.
I'm going to say this, Rock, before you even start.
Yes.
I'm going to say this.
Yes.
And I don't think this is going out on a limb. There's only one person in the world that is going to make a judgment on Jameis Winston in January.
Joel Glazer?
That's Bruce Arians. He's got that kind of clout. And in a private conversation with the Glazers, he ain't going to hold back.
No. I do believe that. He'll be a straight
because
shooter.
His success
yes.
is tied to the quarterback position. And as much as he likes Winston, going back to when he was a toddler, Winston, I don't care.
They make a big
that ain't going to matter.
And
if he likes a guy in that draft and he doesn't think Winston's the guy, that's what he's going to tell the Glazers.
Ira, are you hinting that Bruce Arians is going to try to buy a couple more years by leaning on the development of a rookie quarterback?
No, I'm not saying that.
But I think Sage is saying he will be honest if he does not believe that, you know what, Jameis is not going to get any better. Right? Am I right, Sage?
Let him go, and there's a guy over there that I like.
Gotcha.
Let's go get him.
All right. One more time, and then I want you to give me your prediction on this game. Let's do that. How do you see? Give me a prediction. Ira Cow, you guys do this, right? Yeah, you did this last year.
Yes,
you gave predictions of the game. All right.
And Javier in Panama kept track of it.
Oh, he did.
He
right.
kept
oh,
track
he,
of
he's
it.
Got the pen out right now.
He's
Javier, keep track of this. All right, Sage, how do you see this game? How do you see it Sunday? Truthful.
I say the Bucs make enough plays, even though Winston gets sacked four times, but he doesn't fumble, and he throws one pick. It's manageable. In the famous words of Bruce Arians when I asked him, can you handle interceptions? He said, yes. One.
Yeah, that's a great
that's a great answer by Arians.
Yeah, one. I remember him saying it. Yeah, one.
Bucks win 30-21. Get off to a good start. Lee, the last couple of years, they've won their first game. So
say what you
will
about Dirk Cutter. You know, he was always sitting these guys, resting these guys, gotta stay inside, gotta stay in the air conditioning. They always won with Cutter first game of the season. I think Bruce Arians continues that trend. I'll say 35-28. Bucks win. On, you ready for this? A Devin White pick six.
I thought the same guy says he's not making any splash plays. Rock. Oh.
All right, guys.
See, I want him to make
Rock,
a splash play.
We want to hear yours, babe.
I will. You know what? You know what? I can't change it up because I have been a believer in Bruce Arians, and this is going to look like we are Joe Homers, all three of us. And once
well,
I heard
Niners.
Lee,
it's the Niners,
Lee
you know?
Predict the Buccaneers to win, I said, well, I got to make it a fun podcast. I can't. No, they're going to win this one 23-21, and they're going to win it on a Matt Gay field goal.
Oh.
And the kicker's curse is over, and Arians has stressed winning every single day, and I believe they're going to go 1-0.
And John Lynch goes home disappointed.
Sage, you are the man.